Hey, listeners.
What, were you limp-wristed when you just said that?
Remember, listeners, archaeology is the search for fact, not truth. If it's truth you're looking for, Dr. Tyree's Philosophy Podcast is right down the hall. But this is the Not Just New Movies Podcast, the show where we review a seemingly random film currently not in theaters. My name is Tyler. I'm the temporary co-host for this week's episode, and this week we're going to be talking about Behind Enemy Lines, Columbia, also referred to as Behind Enemy Lines 3, Ghostwatch, made in 2009. If you're just joining us for the first time, we start every episode with a character name game. We won't be playing that today. Transition into our media consume section where we talk about what we've been watching, move on to our review of the week, and finish with listener voicemails and emails. You can always leave us a voicemail at 904-469-NJNM or email us at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com. And you can find this in every other episode of the podcast at notjustnewmovies.com. This week...
Yeah. Get on with the details.
Today we have special guest and massive interrupter, Joe, from the plainfieldblog.com. It's about time you got a .com, Panther, because, you know, it's just been backwards over there for, I don't know, close to 7 years.
Yeah, have you heard about this .com boom?
Yeah, you can make a lot of money if you buy a .com and then it just blows up.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man.
Buy the Plainfield blog.
But I don't even think you mentioned why we were even watching Behind Enemy Lines 3 without even watching the second one or referring to the first one.
Well, okay, let's give us some background here. Last time you and I hosted the Not Just New Movies podcast, we watched a few.
Last time I was invited.
WWE themed episode. We watched Legendary with John Cena and Knucklehead with The Big Show. So this time we kind of kept with the trend by watching Behind Enemy Lines Columbia 3 with Mr. Kennedy, who is a wrestler, I guess. He's not very good.
Yeah, no original characters from the original or presumably the second Behind Enemy Lines.
Never seen the second one.
Subtitled Axis of Evil. So I want to say they go back into time to German.
Yeah, the fight the Germans and the Japanese. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think you can steal a movie title like that.
Yeah, we also did That's What I Am, starring Randy K. Orton.
I don't think that was officially licensed, not just new movies.
That was an offshoot, the Solar Sun cast. Check it out. It's also can be found on Not Just New Movies, but it was not associated with the podcast.
That was your version of that 80s show.
Wow, you're one of the only people that has seen that show. I watched, I think, every episode before it was canceled immediately. it failed horribly, and I was so angry about it.
You know why it failed?
Because it wasn't that
set. No Mila Kunis.
That was my idea all along. Like, why didn't they just have those characters transition into the 80s and have it called that 80s show?
Yeah, just age them progressively. Just give them a bunch of coke and...
No, it just had to be... Yeah, it just had to be 1980. I mean, they were... Like, when the show first started, it was 1977, which was stupid for the creators because you only have 3 years to work with. And they went to, like, through high school, into college, and then, like, graduated before 1980 hit.
I stopped watching That 70s Show, I guess pretty early, because someone told me recently that it was either Topher Grace or one of the other major characters weren't even on the show for the past, for like the last two seasons.
Yeah, I think Topher Grace was replaced by Seth Green. And no one noticed.
About as many people watched those episodes as listened to this podcast.
Oh, good one, ass. Just for that, I'm going to punish you by playing a little game that I invented. You saw it last week on episode 48, Weekend at Bernie's. It's a little thing called Know Your Specs. Enter game show music. Or up your specs, depending on how vulgar you want to be. Joe, have you heard of this game?
Yeah, I don't quite understand the title, but... I didn't understand the rules either.
Specs is short for specifications.
And I thought the girls you were playing with last time were horribly deficient at playing.
They guessed all the answers, though.
Barely. By the skin of the teeth.
Well, it's the game where confidence can win or ruin the day. Let me give you a little direction here. Each contestant is given three categories, and you choose the one that you, Joe, are more confident guessing. Year, director, or star. So once you've chosen one of those categories, I'll give you the name of the movie. And then you have to guess the movie's year, director, or star. Year, of course, is the year of the film's release. The director is the director of the film. And the star is the first listed actor in Video Hound's Golden Movie Retriever, the complete guide to movies on all home entertainment formats. The first bill, so get it straight.
Hold on, wait, I just got a message from Diana Rosler, 2274. Howdy, I was browsing Who's Online and I stumbled upon your profile and you seemed interesting. Smiley face.
Oh, wow.
Is that like a live call-in? Can we Skype her in?
I don't think so.
Oh, we can't Skype her into the recording?
The technology hasn't been invented yet.
I think we have a fanboy or a fangirl.
Doubt it. All right, Joe, out of the three categories, year, director, or star, which one do you think you're more confident in guessing? The year, the director, or the star?
Let's go year.
All right, year. I wish I could help you out. With director and star, I would have given you a clue with the year, but with the year, I can't give you any clues.
You could give me the year.
That would actually help you win, so I'm not going to do
that. Oh, okay.
Okay, can you guess the year for the movie Halloween, directed by John Carpenter, not to be confused with the Rob Zombie version?
Oh, the original Michael Myers?
John Carpenter's Halloween, yes. What year did that movie come out?
1978.
Oh, that is correct. Very good.
Boosh.
All right, moving on. Of the two categories left, director or star, which one do you think you're more confident in guessing?
I'll go star.
Okay, star. Would you like a movie from 2008 or 2007?
1925, please.
Okay, it's probably going to be Charlie Chaplin, but those weren't one of the options.
Duck Soup.
I think that was early 30s. Marx Brothers, Groucho Marx, Harpo Marx, Zippo. Everyone's favorite. Now, 2007 or 2008, what year would you like a movie from?
2008 was a pretty good vintage off the Napa Trail year. Let's go 2008.
All right, 2008 it is. What was the star of the movie Eagle Eye?
Wow, I can't believe you're dropping me on this.
Who starred in the movie Eagle Eye?
Well, if I recall, there were two stars, one of the Moynihan children, and Ben's favorite, Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, that is correct. 2008 Eagle Eye starred Transformer 3 star Shia LaBeouf. Everyone's favorite infiltrator of beloved franchises. All right, you've made it to the third round, and the final category is director. Now, would you like a movie from the year 2001? Or, and I knew you wouldn't pick this one, 1982, because you don't believe movies existed before the year, what, 1993?
I would assume 1982 is Weekend at Bernie's the prequel.
Oh, good guess.
Bernie Lomax was just coming up in his law firm.
Yeah. But he's
still
not
dead.
He's not. He's dead, and he's becoming. So he was dead the entire time.
Yeah, and then the sequel to the prequel, he was resurrected by some Santeria, and then killed again by an offshoot needle. Let's go 2000, the one that's not 80s.
2001, okay. Can you give me the director for 2001's Joe Dirt?
Christopher Columbus.
Christopher Columbus is incorrect, though. A very good guess. The actual answer is Denny Gordon. Denny Gordon directed Joe Dirt, starring David Spade.
Is that Jeff Gordon's brother?
I believe so.
That makes sense.
I think he won the Indianapolis 187.
Okay. You ever seen him go dirt? Fine piece of work there.
Yeah, definitely. My other options for year was Hairspray. Do you know what year Hairspray came out?
I think that was like 2009.
close, 2007. And the movie, entitled Joe Panther. Do you know what year that was?
There's no movie called Joe Panther.
Sure is.
You lie.
Nope.
I am going to sue for libel.
Well, it was 1976, so it was before either of us were born.
No.
I don't think that would hold up in court.
Well, other people have found loopholes.
Yeah, that's true. The director of E.T. the Extraterrestrial, 1982.
Steven Spielberg.
That's right. The star of The Heartbreak Kid, 2007.
Ben Stiller.
Oh, you think he's sexy?
Why don't you just make these a little harder?
Alright, then I will. 2007's Lake Placid 2.
What, the star?
Yeah.
John Schneider.
That's right. Awesome. Later, Gator, asshole. Alright, great. That was Up Your Specs with contestant Joe Leninger. Who won? I'm going to say you won.
Yeah, I got 2 out of 3, and I smashed Team Lore Bland out of the water.
Lore Bland.
Bring it harder next time, ladies, and leave your cats at home. You know.
Don't trash talk our guests, sir.
I'm a loose cannon tonight, man. Call me Brian Pillman, man. I'm ready to fire off.
All right. Well, why don't you fire off in our media consume section? Our media consume section is put aside for talking about things that we've seen on television. Concerts we've gone to, comic books we've read, assassination contracts that we've completed. Joe, what media have you consumed this week?
I've watched a few movies of note, and one you actually mentioned last night, or
really?
Whenever you recorded that podcast.
After midnight, perhaps?
And the other being possibly the best movie I've seen of its kind.
Ooh, intriguing.
But the first one was a little movie I like to call John Tucker Must Die.
Oh, nice.
And it was pretty awful.
Starring show favorite Hayden Panettiere?
No, close, though. It stars a smorgasbord of dimes, including, well, on the male side, Jesse Metcalf and I want to say one of those guys from Gossip Girl or one of those shows. The guy that was the more popular guy was definitely second build. He was
okay.
He was the nice. Oh, his name was Penn Badgley.
Wait, Hayden Panettiere isn't in this?
No, but
I don't know why I thought
Ashanti was in it.
Okay.
Plainfield blog favorite and ring girl Brittany Snow is in it. Sophia Bush, who follows us on Twitter, is on it.
Oh, that's
it.
Right.
And the other girl. Ariel Kebble, another Plainfield favorite.
Not associated with the dog food corporation, I'm sure.
Oh, no, her name is Kebble as opposed to, wait, Kibbles?
I don't know.
All right. But yeah,
pretty lame joke.
Yeah, terrible acting. I saw it on FX, and I think the movie was PG-13, so I don't think I missed a whole lot. But, there were a few moments that made me laugh. You can always count on that, but... It did not deliver in any aspect besides Brittany Snow rocking it.
Nice. So would you recommend to anybody?
Maybe some like 12-year-old girls. I don't know.
So it wasn't funny or anything like a.
No, the message was poor. I mean, it was just everything was about revenge and everyone was conceited. And yeah, the acting was like the jokes were stale. They did like the hidden spy cam on the date gag.
Weak.
And we don't know how that ends. Your breast light on fire like in Saving Silverman. So yeah, no one who's listening to this podcast should ever see that.
All right, good call.
And John Tucker, he did not die in the end. I was surprised.
But he must die.
He must. He should. And he didn't. And actually, no one died.
Spoiler alert.
Really, it should have either gone down that path, or because the story was that he was like dating 3 girls at the same time,
right.
They later find out he's a schizophrenic, and then they don't kill him, and then they feel sorry for him.
Wow, you're just spoiling the hell out of this movie.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, if you've seen one, you've seen them all.
True that.
Except for this next movie I'm about to talk about. which might be the best movie with a comma in its title I think I've ever seen. Can you think of any other good movies with commas in their title, Tyler?
Dear John, I think, might have a comma after it, although I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I was thinking more along the lines of Dude, Where's My Car?
Oh, yeah.
Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything.
Wow.
This one was a little... It's interesting you said Hayden Panettiere, because this one was I Love You, Beth Cooper.
Oh, nice.
And this was everything John Tucker Must Die wanted to be, but wasn't.
Oh, sick.
It took those awkward moments from high school and just rolled them into a ball and just let it play out. It was great.
So lots of corny jokes and kiggers and nudity and stuff like that?
Yeah, not corny jokes, just a lot of deadpan. It was kind of realistic, you know. There was just a lot of like nervousness, and the story is about the nerdy kid. He's the valedictorian. He's giving a speech at graduation, and he's saying all the generic jokes and the one-liners, and then he was like, "Well, you know what? I think I love you, Beth Cooper," and he's never talked to before. He just like looks at her across the hall every day of high school.
Wow.
And then she's like, "What? That's kind of embarrassing. You shouldn't be saying that." and then later they see each other on the lawn, and the guy, I think his name is John, it doesn't really matter, is like, "Hey, Beth Cooper, you should come to my party. We're having some champagne." And then what do you know? They show up, and then just everything goes, and then just they have an adventure.
Hmm. Did you ever read my review of Graduation Night?
I believe I did.
Yeah, was it sorry and loathsome, or was it actually pretty enjoyable to watch?
No, it was very enjoyable, and like I said, it had a natural feeling about it. Yeah. I mean, really, the main character, the guy, is, I mean, he's probably a nice guy, but he is hideous.
Hmm.
Like, he is not typecast like the Penn Badgleys and the Chase Crawfords. I mean, he is homely, or comely, whichever one applies there.
I think both of those are offensive in some way.
But yeah, and then, you know, of course, Hayden Panettiere, the greatest actress ever to live.
Yeah, very famous Plainfield blog dime. We're throwing that term around.
And then,
Is this a rental, or is this a...
Yeah, definitely go check it out. As a, you know, maybe watch with some amigos.
Ooh.
You know,
it's a bro movie?
Yeah, it reminded me, I know I talked about this last time, it reminded me a lot of Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I since finished up since I was on last time, and it ended, that show ended great. You couldn't have asked for a better ending, really.
High school
it wasn't
book.
One of those one-season shows where you're just kind of left hanging in the wind.
Right. Oh, Terriers.
That's a shot at you, Ben P.
Why don't you come out and say something, brother? He's not coming out. Anything else you've been consuming?
Other than Extreme Chef, not really. I do want to mention Breaking Bad Season 4 starts Sunday night.
Oh, good plug.
And if you never watched that show, you're going to sit down and watch it and not stop watching it. It is like you were taking the meth from the screen and you were ingesting it yourself.
Yeah. You eat meth, right? Like candy.
Yeah, they're kind of like Pop Rocks.
All right.
Same shape and flavor.
10-4. Yeah, Extreme Chef. Pretty awful show, I'm not going to lie. Watched the last quarter episode and...
The black guy couldn't swim.
Was not fond of it. Was not getting the point.
Well, I mean, I'd like to hear what you had to talk about, and maybe you watch something better.
Oh, well, actually, I haven't been watching a lot. I've been listening to a lot, so I'm going to bring that up. A couple of podcasts that I found out about that we haven't really mentioned before on this show.
Okay.
One of them is the Never Not Funny podcast, hosted by comedian Jim Pardo.
Wow, that is a high praise.
Never Not Funny?
That is a lofty title to live up to.
Well, from what I've heard so far, it's never not funny. I'm not going to lie. Even even
Jim
when
Pardo. That guy sounds familiar.
Yeah, Jimmy Pardo. You may recognize him from a couple Conan sketches. He kind of works with the Conan crew. I think he warms up the audience before the show is recorded, and then he does a podcast, which you have to pay for to listen to the complete hour and a half or however long the interview is. And he has, you know, certain...
That looks like a politician.
But if you go to if you go to iTunes, there are a few episodes that are completed. You know, he'll put in a few free complete episodes. But for most of the part, you know, when there's a full episode, he'll put like a 20-minute kind of sample for free so that, you know, you can get a little bit of it, and I guess it's supposed to get you to go and pay for the premium subscription. So, Jimmy, if you ever want to be on the Not Just New Movies podcast, just drop us a line. I would love to be on your show, so there you have it. Also, I'm just kidding, I'm probably never going to get that call. Doug Loves Movies, hosted by Doug Benson, another podcast that I've...
Oh, not doing much since Doug Benson's interruption.
That show, yeah, I really like that show. I don't know why it was canceled, but he goes out, and I think he does the Benson Interruption podcast, like his stand-up show, like his tour is basically him going around the country hosting these podcasts. And there are some podcasts that you have to pay for. There are some that are free. So Doug Loves Movies into the search bar or the Benson Interruption. Sometimes he'll interrupt his own podcast. Like everybody thinks it's a Doug Loves Movies episode, when it's really the Benson Interruption episode.
He does a crossover of his own material?
Yeah, so it'll play the Doug Loves Movies theme song, and they'll be like, hey, everybody, it's actually the Benson Interruption, and then the Benson Interruption song will play.
That's a novel idea. I just want to start writing about Impact, and then all of a sudden just start writing about America's Got Talent halfway through.
Nice. Of course, Joseph.
And act like nothing happens.
Where wrestling matters. Yeah, but for those of you that listen to this podcast in Los Angeles, the City of Angels, California, Doug Loves Movies is usually recorded on Sunday nights at the United Citizens Brigade or UCB Theater. So check him out and tell him I sent you.
I think it's called Upright Citizens Brigade.
Whatever. The United. Last podcast I wanted to talk about was the Pod F Tomcast, hosted by comedian and hopefully personal friend of the show in the future. Paul F. Tompkins is the name of that comedian. I'm sorry.
Oh, that guy, he's not funny.
He is hilarious.
He used to be on those that I love the 90s.
That is exactly where he's been from, and I've been a fan of him ever since.
That guy is not...
you don't like him? You don't like the mustache? Is that it?
He is a step below the guy from the league.
Okay, why don't you just trash talk everybody I want to have on the show, Joe?
Yeah, you know, that's what happens when you hold me down and keep me off like 30 straight episodes. And I don't even work here like Pat.
I'm not management, man. I'm not management. For the Pod F Tomcast, there are 11, currently 12 episodes, I think. He started this last year. He did one episode per month. He just recently put out his live Pod F Tomcast. Quite hilarious. But he's going on a little break. He'll be back, though, he says. So listen up on those episodes and then come back and tell us what you think. That is a recommendation from Tyler himself.
Hopefully a permanent break.
Those three podcasts. Apparently Joe does not like Paul F. Tompkins. He does not reflect the views or feelings of the Not Just a Movie.
I'm just doing a little pardon the interruption banner. You'll say something that you like, and I'll just trash it for no reason.
Sounds good. Let's move on to our review of Behind Enemy Lines 3, Columbia Ghost Watch.
When terrorists threaten the world...
What do you know about Columbia? Specifically, the FARC.
Most powerful, most dangerous communist guerrilla force on the planet.
Only one elite team can handle the job.
Stay on your triggers and watch your back!
Go, 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 go!
The only way to survive.
We're gonna ghost in, see what's what.
Get the hell out of there!
Is to fight as one.
What are you thinking? I think we get some payback.
Let's go.
Do it! Now!
Behind enemy lines, Columbia, on DVD January 2009.
You know, Tyler, if we're going to review it, we have to give them the actual title if people are going to want to look this up and watch it for future reference.
It's on Instant Netflix, and if you like Modern Warfare, it's probably...
It's called Behind Enemy Lines, Columbia, Zookeeper.
Flash Mall Cop. Paul Blart, Behind Enemy Lines.
I like Flash Mall Cop better. Half Flashpoint, half Mall Cop.
Paul Blart, Behind Enema Lines.
You went over the line.
That took a turn for the worst, folks. Yes, there are two different titles for this movie. Behind Enemy Lines, Columbia, or Behind Enemy Lines 3, as I mentioned, Ghost Watch. It was directed
Ghost
by...
Ghost Watch?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought you were making that up.
No, definitely wasn't. It's directed by Tim Matheson, who we'll get to later, and it stars the old-timer Mr. Kennedy, now known as Mr. Anderson.
Kennedy!
Impact Wrestling, which Joe mentioned earlier. Joe, initial thoughts on this movie. What did you think going in?
It started out pretty rough. It just seemed kind of like an uninspired action movie, but by the end it kind of came together and kind of rattled my heart a little bit, and I was like, oh, well, Columbia's still a pretty shitty place.
Did it have anything to do with the fact that the U.S.
Marines never going there.
Commercial announcer starred as a military officer?
Oh, yeah, Keith David, the guy that's always in...
Scott Boitano.
Is it Scott Boitano or Keith David?
His name in real life is Keith David. The character he played was Commander Scott Boitano.
You need to join the army.
You need to take this cape. for those of you that don't know, he also starred in The Cape on NBC, which...
Oh, yeah, sure, that's right. He had some really, just really awesome interactions in this movie. I mean, just lines. There was one towards the end when they were doing the whole chain of command argument, and Keith David's character is like, you know, these are my men. I'm going to tell them what to do. And then the other guy comes in and is all like, what are you talking about? I'm in command. And Keith David's like, you don't tell me what to do. And then the other guy seriously is like, well, actually, you're mistaken. I can.
All right, he has taken over this little thing. No, and then he goes, I command you to back the hell off.
Yeah, it was something like that. Where
the
just
Marines.
There was this really, really large build-up to this confrontation. Just, actually, you're mistaken.
Did you notice that the group was called SEAL Team 7?
SEAL Team 7, yeah.
Opposed to SEAL Team 6. Who barely missed their chance to be in Behind Enemy Lines.
Wouldn't that mean SEAL Team 6 died? Do they do it like Bond?
I don't think so. I think it goes backwards, where we're actually going to run out of SEAL teams when it hits zero.
Oh, no.
Started out with SEAL Team, like, 2000.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's an interesting but creative way to organize the military.
I think by SEAL Team 1, it's just going to be John Cena, and he's just going to lift the world up.
Well, it's all right, though, because he never gives up.
He's going to lift the world up by his fingers, spin it like a basketball, and that'll propel all the bad guys off the earth.
Guess what? He never backs down from a fight. It's statistically impossible that he will stand down from a confrontation. First of all, where the hell is Columbia? Do you even know where Columbia is, Joe?
You know, there's this land, South America, right?
I believe so.
And it's connected to North America by this thin strip called Central America.
I'm following you, yes.
And Colombia is kind of the ball and joint socket that connects South America to the rest of the good land where good people live.
Yeah, sure. Let's get a
fact. And that's where plants are grown and cocaine and bad soccer.
Ooh, bad soccer? I'm pretty sure they're a lot better at soccer.
No, they're terrible.
Terrible?
Yeah, they went to the World Cup this year, and then they just lost to the U.S. by like 8 goals or touchdowns. Wow. Whatever they score over there.
Is there a mercy rule in the World Cup? 8 goals sounds like a lot.
No, they just hung their heads in shame and just left 45 minutes into the game.
Oh, that you would think that'd be a more famous match, but I guess not.
No, not as famous as the U.S.-Columbia game from 94 where the player owned gold himself and then got killed when he returned.
Oh, wow.
That's how bad they are.
So you were talking about how the movie started off kind of corny, and it did because, you know, they were stalking this guy like they were going to kill him, and then they threw him like a bachelor party slash birthday party.
Yeah, you know, I kind of like that scene because in these movies, you always expect the opening scene to be something just really violent.
Yeah.
Like, that is what you do in these straight-to-DVD action movies. But they did that, and then they did the kind of, like, the show credits, like the TV credit openings where they introduced all five guys, and you're like, okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
They did a freeze frame, and they're like, oh, this guy likes guns and cleavage.
Yeah, it was like an episode of Night Court.
Kennedy's was really funny. I wish I wrote it down now.
He bench-pressed a Civic when he was 15.
Yes.
And the other guy was like, he could kill you with, like, a firework and lint or something.
Yeah, like a 9-volt battery and lint.
That's it, 9-volt battery.
And then
How Mr. Kennedy was Mr. Kennedy in this action flick? I guess I should call him Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, he had a lot of swagger, a lot of head tilt, and I want to say he was chewing gum the entire time,
yeah.
Which is something he does.
Yeah, it's something he does all the time, and he... I don't think he even acted worried for any point in the movie.
I was really
sure he was getting out of it.
He's just really, really composed. That's why he's on SEAL Team 7.
Right. While the other guys are dying, he's just like, whatever.
I was just really, really waiting for him to mic check somebody.
You know,
instead of that move where he goes up and, like, slits their throat from behind.
Yeah.
He just, like, boinks them in the eyes and mic checks them onto the ground.
Oh, he's such a dirty player. could the explosions have been any more fake in this movie? I mean, it started with the little contraption that was on the birthday cake, and I was like, well, that's clearly not real. And then, like, the bazooka into the tree, which, of course,
you
dodged with a Jeep, a bazooka, which...
Yeah, that tree got burnt to hell.
Yeah, and it was funny because it was like Jurassic Park all over again, where the bazooka bullet or the, you know, rocket launcher or whatever was actually seen in the rearview mirror. Like, images or objects may seem closer than they appear.
Yeah.
And then he turns left and it blows a tree up. And then they blow that car up in the streets of some village.
Yeah, the special effects were definitely uninspired, I want to say.
And the worst of them all was at the very beginning where one of the main characters, the Colombian soldier with his family in the market, and, you know, some barber blows up. And clearly they're okay from the first explosion because it's way far off.
No.
There's like a second explosion, and then all of a sudden there's a piece of wall on top of the mother.
Yeah, the setting didn't make sense because he turned around to walk somewhere to, like, the hot dog vendor or whatever.
Right.
And as he was turning, he was coming back, the explosion was behind him, but he was already walking to his family.
Right.
So he was unharmed, except for some soot on his face or something, while his family, had a wall collapsed on them.
Where the wall frame, well, I don't know.
So unless the explosion Yoshi hopped over him and got everyone else behind him, I didn't see how that was possible.
Yeah, that was a freak of nature. Again, I've said this before, but Isaac Newton's rolling in his grave.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Did this look like a Call of Duty Modern Warfare fanboy video game? Because I felt that was exactly the demographic they were looking for.
Yeah, I was definitely bored by the action scenes, the sequences.
And they're
like I said, I think they were just uninspired. Like at one point, we should probably tell the viewers what this movie's about. There's all sorts of chaos and calamity in Colombia. So SEAL Team 7 goes down to fight, I'm not going to make this name up, the FARC. The FARC, who are some rebellious guerrillas that always challenge the Colombian government and have been for like four decades. Wow, they should really get that under control.
Yeah.
So they go down there and they're going to try and make sure a peace accord and in like an airplane hangar goes to plan. But then a third team of guerrillas, I mean, you've got the Colombian government or the Colombian soldiers, you've got the FARC talking peace, and then the third guerrilla soldiers led by the guy whose family was killed comes in there and kills everybody.
Oh,
I mean,
it is
like triple threat match all up in that thing. And did you watch those death scenes, Tyler? Those people just fell over limp.
Yeah.
It was pretty pitiful.
It was, yeah, like once I got past like the birthday party at the beginning and right before the end of the movie, it was just constant battle scenes or walking through a jungle. The only really part I liked was when Mr. Kennedy and his LT Smash character were like climbing telephone poles to make a call to the the Marine spokesman. And for some reason, they knew his direct cell phone line at one point in the movie.
I think they got it from his wife or something. He called him up. He's like, I got your number from your wife.
That is completely unrealistic, I'll say.
But yeah, definitely the action sequences were... It's just, you could tell there wasn't much effort put into them. The extras didn't know how to react to gunfire at all.
No, that was another thing I pointed out.
And the...
They jumped like 3 feet in the air every time they were shot.
So, yeah, after that shooting, it was made through chicanery to look like the U.S. SEALs killed all these people to start.
Right.
And now they were going to start a civil war and hate America more. Their motives were kind of unclear at that point.
Yeah, the Colombian government was like, the U.S. has come in and attacked us. And then the military people and their jargon were like, oh, no, we need to control for this. And then Tim Matheson's character comes in. He's like, I'm from the NSA. And we're going to shut down this operation.
Wait, the director was in his own movie?
Yeah.
Wow, Tim Matheson.
Yeah, well, let's get to Tim Matheson for a second. Tim Matheson, you'll definitely recognize him if you saw him. It's from famous
Carl
movies.
Dobbs, okay. That's the guy. That's the guy who was...
Yeah.
Well, actually, I can.
Right, he was the one that was dropping the status quo, like he had the higher rank. He's from famous films, or semi-famous films, like Drop Dead Fred. That's the second Drop Dead Fred reference I've made in 2 weeks. He was in Black Sheep with Chris Farley and David Spade. He was in a very Brady sequel.
Wow.
He played the guy that was trying to steal the white horse. He was in She's All That, Van Wilder. He was in Animal House.
Oh, American Pie presents The Book of Love.
Yeah, he was definitely he was alumnus guy number 4 in that. So worth the mention. But yeah, Tim Matheson, not to be confused with Tim Daly, who was on Wings, who I thought he was initially. Pretty famous guy, and he directed this movie, and he was also directing the show The Good Guys before it got canceled. So. Rest in peace, good guys. Jenny Wade, still digging you. So, yeah, Tim Matheson was in that. And then I guess we can just continue with the plot of the film. Like, Matheson's character was trying to cover up everything and, like, make it look like they were actually assassins.
He wanted to burn notice them.
Are you referring to the USA show or an actual burn notice?
Yeah, but, like, that's a double entendre. Triple entendre.
Good job. I dig it. yeah, he wanted to go all white collar and psych them out with necessary roughness.
Yeah, no, that's what you do. Isn't that what you do in a burn notice? You just like you just pretend they're dead. Cut all ties with them.
I thought it was referring to someone who actually got burned and they were notifying someone, like a fireman.
I think it means when you have undercovers and you just kind of, you know, to cut ties, you just kind of
perhaps some covert affairs is going on.
Oh, God damn it, Tyler. while your banter is witty, it's just driving me off my point.
Continue.
Forgot now. I guess, yeah, you've run me out of the circle.
Oh, enjoy that crash down into the canyon, you out-of-control train.
Yeah. I'll do that. And then you can bring Ben P. back here to stink up the joint again.
Oh, fighting words. Yeah, so Matheson's character, to bring you back on track, tried to burn notice the guys. David, or the Marines commercial guy, was like, I'm not going to have any of that. I'm bringing our boys home. And so there was the back and forth there.
Which I guess that was the tie-in to Behind Enemy Lines, the original one.
I would have needed a cameo by Gene Hackman.
Where Hackman was
Hackman.
He really, really, really wanted to bring Owen Wilson home.
That Behind Enemy Lines was really good.
Yeah, totally. And it brings me back to my point where these sequels, these straight to DVD cookie cutter sequels just water down the original product. Like I genuinely love a movie like Anaconda, and to see Anaconda 3 and 4 just makes me ashamed to be an American.
You didn't like Search for the Black Orchid?
I mean, really, no, 2 was okay.
What was the third one? The Return of the Black Orchid? Well, that had David Hasselhoff in 3 and 4. And I think they were made for TV. And I think I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I think this was made for TV as well.
I mean, it was straight to DVD.
DVD?
I don't know if this would ever make it to the TNT lineup. This is bumping the Legend of Bagger Vance out of its slot. you could essentially call it anything, really. This could have been called Weekend at Bernie's 3, where...
Well, we've already discussed the plot of that, Weekend at Bernie's 3.
Well, yeah, then it can cross over with the Behind Enemy Lines franchise, where Bernie Lomax, he starts up the DERP, the D-E-R-P.
Okay.
The Djibouti Extremist Radicals... or Revolution of the People.
Oh, nice.
And really what happens is he's dead, right? Because that's the joke. Right. It's going on to the third movie.
Somehow he's organized a guerrilla organization.
Yeah, and he's such a stern leader in Djibouti that all he can do is... wherever the wind is blowing, his head either nods or shakes.
Okay.
And so that's the direction they take, because he doesn't say anything. He's just that badass of a leader. So he leads this East African Revolution, and that's Weekend at Bernie's 3, the DERP.
Well, they have to send over Chris Kattan as the military liaison to Djibouti.
Oh, White She-Devil movie?
I was going to say Night at the Roxbury's, but...
The one where he played the man with Eddie Griffin.
Corky Romano?
No, the one... the one with the Brotherhood, where it's Eddie Griffin and he's the black
Undercover Brother.
Undercover Brother, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should know the name of that. That has Denise Richards in a pretty pivotal role.
Yeah, I know. It's been a long time since we lost it over Denise Richards.
Nice.
Yeah, I know.
I hope you're not throwing me into that crew.
I will throw you under the bus.
Although I didn't know Christmas only came... Oh, shit, I messed up the line. So, final thoughts on Columbia Behind Enemy Ghost Watch 3.
Enemy Lines 5, DERP versus FARC.
Right. I'm not even going to suggest this. It's on Instant Watch. It's so generic that it's kind of a waste of your time. If you're... trying to get into this kind of stuff, check out Behind Enemy Lines 1 with Owen Wilson and Gene Hackman, a really good film, a lot more suspenseful. Joe, final thoughts?
If you're not a huge, huge fan of Mr. Kennedy, like me and Tyler are, you probably don't need to see this movie.
Well, even if you are, he's not that, well-featured.
Although it did redeem itself for the last fight, which I think may go down in history as one of the only, three-inch blade knife fights to end a movie.
That was pretty badass.
That was definitely the best part.
Yeah, they were
so dangerous.
They were like steak knives. And these,
yeah, you couldn't...
I think they threw down their guns to actually fight with the steak knives.
Yeah, and they were clanging the knives together like they were sword fighting.
Right. It was something to check out, so... Yeah, I mean, if you just want to see that part, just boot up your Netflix and skip to, like, the 1 hour, 25-minute mark, and you'll be able to check that out.
Yeah, but
the movie's
just,
only 1 hour and 33 minutes, so.
I mean, you could definitely skip this and, you know, get back to playing Conker's Bad Fur Day or whatever.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Well, that was a review of Behind Enemy Lines 3, Ghost Watch Columbia. Again, I'm not going to bring out the Apple II because we're in a state of limbo here at the podcast.
Screw the Apple II anyway. He sucks.
Well, thanks. My own invention. You're just gonna badmouth that as well?
Look at the movies it craps out, really.
Yeah, this one...
Hollywood Homicide.
That was its third try, and it was already failing. You can always send us an email at notjustnewmovies@gmail.com, or you can give us a call and leave a voicemail at 904-469-NJNM. You can subscribe for us. You can subscribe to us for free in iTunes and leave us a review, and thank you if you have. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Our Twitter account is at NJNMPodcast. We've got one new follower. Her name is Serena Marcus, according to her profile. She is a adult film star, so whatever you're doing out there in California, Ben, it's working.
Wait, how do you know she's an adult film star? Is that listed as her...
It says on her Twitter
page. Is that her subtitle?
I am a porn star. She is
so subtle these days.
She's loud and proud of it. Talking about where you can find us on the internet, Joe, where can we find you?
Well, you're probably not going to be able to find me much on this podcast anymore, because I'm already fired. Woo! I'm already fired. Fire me, Tyler.
I don't have the ability to do that. I need Tim Matheson to come in and do that.
Can't.
I need Tim Matheson to come in and, you know, go over my head.
You know, you can find me at the Playing Field, theplayingfieldblog.com. Covering everything from America's Got Talent to terrible music to dime pieces here and there. Taking a break from CamelClutchBlog.com and finishing up Destageddon.
Yeah, but you'll be coming back to CamelClutchBlog.com, I'm sure.
Yeah, we got to negotiate a contract. I walked out with the title when I left.
Nice, nicely done. You can find me at TheSolarSentinel.blogspot.com and writing alongside Joe, Destageddon.blogspot.com, closing up soon, so check that out. Our usual host, who has now, I guess, created a feud with Panther Joe, Ben, can be found at twitter.com/BenPears, at geektyrant.com.
Like the fruit.
You can find him at philmonic.com, on the Geek Tyrant Weekly Podcast, and of course, you can find him at notjustnewmovies.com. That's what the podcast is named after. This week's music is the Titantron theme for Mr. Kennedy and Mr. Anderson. Brought to you by the huge corporation known as World Wrestling Entertainment. So suck it. But usually our show's music is brought to you by George Turner and the Bandits. You can find their music at gtbandits.com. And they're also on Twitter and Facebook, so check them out there. Joe, thanks
for
coming on.
Yeah, I actually like
on.
Those guys, George Turner. Yeah, those are some good guys. Good. No gripe with them.
Oh, okay. So just the people you're in direct contact with.
Yeah, it's on.
All right. Well, Joe, I wish you luck in your tirade against us.
All right.
I will.
I'm coming for you, Cater Bland. I'm coming for you, Ekman.
We'll see you next time on the Not Just New Movies podcast.
Frankie Muniz.
I hate you so much.